What's up? What's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is Monday, September 26, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and I am excited about today, man. We have a great show, great show. It is Missional Monday, Missional Monday. That's right. You heard me. It's Missional Monday. Today's topic, 10 Commandments of an Uncommitted Christian. 10 Commandments of an Uncommitted Christian. You don't want to miss today's broadcast. Go ahead, start hitting your share button, start calling your people, call your mama them, your cousin them, get everybody in. Y'all come on in the room and get ready for 10 Commandments of an Uncommitted Christian. That's our article for the day. That's our conversation that we're going to hit up a little bit later on today. But in the meantime, also, we're going to talk about a couple other things, man. We got the debate coming up tonight, right? We got the first presidential debate of this election season. It's the first presidential election of the season, and we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. Right? We good? Okay. All right. So if people said, I'm getting told that they can't hear me on Facebook Live. Not sure why they can't hear me on Facebook Live, but they ought to be. Not sure why. But we're going to find out. 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 But let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening, meaning you've already dialed in, you just push one and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are listening, if you're on social media, if you're on social media, simply go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. And you can definitely get us right there. Yeah, I do see that there is a volume issue on Facebook Live. So we're going to get that rectified. We're going to get that Facebook Live situation rectified very shortly. Yeah, if you're on social media, simply go to our social media page, facebook.com/TTLO radio, facebook.com/TTLO radio. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Tweet the show at TTLO radio. Again, that's at TTLO radio. Want to email the show? Email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to watch the live stream of the show, Ustream.tv, at Taking the Limits Off. Ustream.tv, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Facebook Live, I'm going to reset Facebook Live. Not sure why the volume decided it didn't want to work. We're going to get that volume up and running, and we'll be good to go real quick on that front. In the meantime, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. In the meantime, gonna give y'all a little bit of this Adrian B. King, So Amazing. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Thank you.
grace is amazing, God. And by his blood we are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. I think I got it now. I love that song, man. So amazing. Adrian B. King. That's talented artist, man. Love it. Love it. He's been on the show. Love that brother, man. He's good. He's got some mad skills. Seriously. He has some mad skills when it comes to this gospel music thing. And I'm excited about his upcoming concert. Okay, that sounds real strange. Y'all check me out. Let me know if the sound is right on Facebook Live. I'm hearing something completely different on my end. So let me know what's going on Facebook Live. Hopefully we got it together. Hopefully we get that sound together. Because it sounds real strange. Real strange in my ear. Sound like the chipmunks is going on or something. So y'all help a brother out and let me know. Y'all let me know if it's all good. Amen. 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 We good. We good. Hey, look. So we got so much going on. What's up? What's up, Rock? What's up, man? The Rockamore brothers. What's going on, man? What's up? This is crazy, 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 crazy. Anyway, so much is going on, right? Let me give you the last thing. Facebook Live is up and running. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. Lastly, download the podcast of today's show and any of our previous shows. Download the podcast of the show, and you can follow us right along right there with the podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account. Go to your iTunes account, do a search for the podcast, Take Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you'll find us right there. Man, look, man, hopefully everybody had a good weekend, right? I'm hoping y'all had a good weekend. Y'all let me know on Facebook Live if the sound is fixed, right? Please let me know if y'all can hear me clearly, those of you in the room. Let me know if you got sound. Let me know, because I don't know if y'all ain't got sound unless y'all don't tell me. So once again, I just want to put that out there. If you got sound, let me know. Push one. Just push one or two. Push a button. Do something. Breaking up bad on y'all end. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure what's really going on with my Facebook Live. I'm going to have to go out and come back in on the Facebook Live, and hopefully we can get this thing rectified, because I'm not real sure what's causing all this. But we're going to get it together. Man, so look, so much stuff is going on. Right now, and I'm just excited about everything. So we got the first debate coming up, right? It's the very first debate of the election season, and it starts tonight. Tonight, man, this is going to be good. It's Donald versus Hillary. You're going to finally get some questions answered, or some questions that you wanted to know. Hopefully we're going to get some questions answered, and people, and we'll all be able to just join in and get an idea of what's going to actually happen this election. You're probably not going to get a lot of stuff. You're not going to get a lot of stuff. But the whole thing is, can Hillary appear trustworthy? That's going to be the big thing that they're talking about. Can Hillary appear trustworthy? And then the other thing is going to be, can Donald Trump not be a complete, for lack of better words, a complete scumbag? That's going to be the question. So we're all going to be sitting back waiting and watching to see what we get out of today's election. Hopefully we get something more than what we've been getting without, because this is going to be done without media spin. The one thing about a debate, the media cannot spin a debate. The media cannot spin the debate. All we can do is sit back, watch it, get what we can get from it, and then make your decisions based off of the answers you get. Hopefully we get some answers to some of the questions. Yeah, wow. This sound is amazingly bad on Facebook Live, y'all. I don't know what's going on. Not sure. Wow. It's a hot mess. Okay, yeah. I'm sounding like the chipmunks on Facebook Live. I really don't know what that's all about. I'm going to try to figure that out a little bit later on. I really can't. It's hard to do in the middle of the show. So those of you who normally want to watch on Facebook Live, tune in to Ustream.tv. Go to your Ustream.tv and try to watch me there if you really want to watch the stream. I apologize for what's going on. Not sure why Facebook Live decided to just act a stone fool today. But anyway, so you get the debate tonight. You all remember Lester Holt. Lester Holt is our he's a former newscaster here in the city of Chicago. He was on, I believe he used to work on Channel 2 News back in the day. And now he is the one who's actually going to be the moderator for this debate process. So we should get some sort of should be some pretty good questions. And the big question that's coming out is, are people actually going to is Lester Holt going to play fact checker during this process? Is he going to play fact checker during this process? Meaning, if Donald Trump decides to tell one of his tall tales, as he has been known to do, if he decides to do that, is Lester Holt going to correct him and say, you know, hey, this information you just gave us is wrong. This information that you just put out is wrong, and I just want and is that going to be put on the record? I really want to know if that's going to be the case, because he needs to be held accountable for some of the stuff both ways. And I'm not just saying that for him. Even if Hillary says something that facts have shown to be incorrect, this is something we need to make sure that's handled properly and handled the right way. So hopefully, we get some sort of response. And we get some good feedback. So if you're going to watch the debate, man, look, make sure you watch it, because we're going to talk about it on Wednesday. So make sure you watch the debate. So that's that. So let me move on. Let me move on quickly. One of the other things that happened is we got the video release from the Charlotte, North Carolina, from the shooting in Charlotte. We got the video release from that. First, the wife released her video that she took with her cell phone. She released her video, and then now, I guess I'm going to assume because of the pressure of the other video being released, the Charlotte police released some of its webcam footage, of its body cam footage that the officers were wearing. And even in that, you still don't see the actual shooting. I guess there is still some left that's being used, being classified as evidence, which is why it has not been released as of yet. I got love, my listeners. I got an email that says I hear Alvin talking. Yeah, that was the Facebook Live feed. I'm not sure what happened with. Not sure at all what happened with the Facebook Live feed. We're going to try to get that. Oh, goodness. We're going to try and get that corrected for my Facebook Live. Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. So, hey, it's all good. It's all good, y'all. So in the process, they released footage. You really still cannot see, a gun being dropped. Now let me clarify something. There is some footage that's been released that has absolutely nothing. It's on media takeout, and part of what's being shown. On this media takeout, they're breaking down this slow motion video where they're claiming you can see the gun being dropped on the video, and you cannot. What's being dropped on the video, what we see actually dropping on the video, is gloves. It's a pair of black gloves that's being dropped on the video. That's all you see. You do not see a gun being dropped on the video. You don't see any of that. So. I'm not sure what that is. There's still a lot of stuff that needs to be found out about the Charlotte, North Carolina situation. I will say this: They did lift the curfew. They didn't have any more they didn't have any violent issues over the weekend. They had several peaceful protests. They did have peaceful protests outside of the Carolina Panthers football game yesterday. So that was all there. But, you know, it's really not. I'm really, really I'm guarding my words because there's so much information that's yet to be told about the information in Charlotte. So we definitely just want to keep Charlotte in our prayers. And once again, if you did not know, if you hadn't heard, in Tulsa. Now, one of the interesting things about the Tulsa information is the young lady in Tulsa who shot Mr. Crutcher in Tulsa was booked, arrested, and out of jail in less than 30 minutes. She was arrested, out of jail, in 30 minutes. Now, I don't know what town you live in. I don't know where you live. But how do you get indicted? Here we go. Here again is what I like. I used this word last week, optics. Here again, you have someone who has been arrested for first-degree manslaughter, and they are turned themselves in at 1 o'clock in the morning, and they are out of jail and headed back home at 1:23, less than 30 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but something just does not look right in these particular situations. There is something very, very bad about the optics of this, because once again, it looks like there is some favoritism that's happening. It looks like there is some definite favoritism that's happening. And when you see that, when you see things happen like that, all you can do, you can't help but feel some kind of way. You can't help but feel like, wait a minute, how is this even possible? Did she literally go to, how did she get bonded out so quickly? What courtroom did she go to at 1 a.m.? I mean, seriously, what courtroom did she go? Did she grow up to? What courtroom did she go to that got her out of jail at that time in the morning? So it makes us start to wonder how we could even continue to it's already going to put the sign out there of why we should trust this system. Why we should trust this system. It really is, man. It really is. It just makes me, you know, it's got me a little feeling some kind of way as to why we should really trust this system. But look, y'all, we're gonna keep talking about it. We have a great show. We're gonna hop into this conversation. Some other stuff happened over the weekend. We're gonna talk about that. And I'm gonna tell y'all how prayer works when I get back. Now, y'all remember Friday we were talking about 12 strange ways people pray. I'm gonna tell y'all how prayer works when we get back, right? I'm gonna tell you how prayer works. I'm gonna take a quick break because I'm gonna restart this machine over here. And when we come back, we're gonna continue the conversation. But man, I'm just gonna tell y'all how prayer works. I just want y'all to know it. I just want y'all to know it. It really does work. We'll be right back, y'all. Gonna give y'all a little bit of this. Bless the Lord. TTLO, Byron Butler. Be blessed. My soul and all that is.
we have tonight. The audience. You
Give you all the glory. That's a conscious decision. Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory. Give you all the glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Give
yes, sir.
You all the glory.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All right. I think. I think we got it back together. Round up in this here piece. I believe we'll find out. Yes, sir. We do. We got it all back in. All right. I just checked it out. Yes, sir. Now we good to go. Everybody happy. I don't want my folks. But folks get mad when Facebook Live ain't on. I don't want nobody get mad at me. So, but again, come on, y'all. Press on in. Press on in. We good to go. Let the people know Facebook Live is up and running. Come on back in. Share it with the people. We good to go. A little bit of that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Myron Butler. So look at y'all. Remember we were on Friday. Right? Praise Break Friday. We were doing this article about 12 strange ways people pray. And then if y'all remember on Wednesday, I asked y'all to put the bowling team on the sick and the shut-in list, right? Y'all remember I told y'all that? I asked y'all. Now, I didn't check the list yesterday. I forgot to check the bulletin down here at the church house on yesterday to check the bulletin. However, on Friday, I asked y'all again to pray for the bowling team. I did ask y'all to pray. Y'all remember this, right? Y'all do recall the conversation on Friday. I asked y'all to pray for the bowling team. We were in need of some prayer. Well, I believe that God answers prayer. Because I just want y'all to know on Saturday, huh? I just want you to know that on Saturday, huh? The bowling team showed up, huh? And I also want you to know, that not only did the bowling team show up, I just want to bless God for the team. Let's see. What's the song? We got our stroke back, huh? Come on, somebody. People, we was flowing on Saturday. Just Do It came on back. So I will need y'all, for those of you who pray. I know some of y'all didn't pray because y'all didn't think y'all needed to pray for my bowling team. But that's all right. But for those of you who did send up a word on behalf of the bowling team, I appreciate your prayer. We, and I will speak for the entire squad, we appreciate your prayers for what you sent up on Friday. We really do. I must tell you that we are so appreciative of your prayers for the bowling team, because we showed up on Saturday. Bless the Lord for the bowling. Bless y'all for y'all prayers. The prayers worked, y'all. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's in the book now. I don't know. Y'all better check it. You better pay attention. It's showed up in the book. So do me this favor. Y'all in. I see y'all popping on. Y'all coming on in on Ustream. I appreciate y'all. You coming in on Facebook. When you come in on Facebook, you got to say hi. Say hi to the preacher now when you come in. Don't just come in and don't speak. Come in. I done told y'all about walking in folk house and you come in the door and don't speak. That's rude. Now, I know your mom and them done gave y'all some kind of home training. When you come into the place, to the room, you got to speak and say something. Now, some of y'all are new to Facebook Live, y'all coming in, because I don't recognize some of y'all. But when you come in, you got to speak to the preacher. You got to speak. You know. It's like when you're in church and the person stand behind the microphone and they say, God is good. What you say? All the time. That's the way that normally work, right? That's the way that normally work. Right? Come on. That's right. Thank you for that. That's right. Keep the thumbs up coming. That's right. Amen. I take them thumbs up as amen. See, the thumbs up on Facebook Live, that's an amen. When I see a heart, that's a hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on. That's just me. I'm gonna change the way this actually works. When I see a heart, that's a hallelujah. When I see a thumbs up, that's an amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's go. So I do want to thank y'all so much for that. But let's get into today's article. This is good. This is good stuff. I want to spend some time on it. I want to give it its ample time. That's why I'm jumping in a little early to make sure you all get all of this. I want to make sure you get all of this article. Amen. Let me get this in here. Let me make sure y'all got that over here. All right. Y'all got the article over there. Good old my Ustream people's over here. Make sure Ustream, y'all got the article. Y'all should already have an article, but I'm going to put it out here because you never know. You never know. You get a new watcher or a new viewer, and a new viewer come in and go, what are they talking about? I don't know what they're talking about. So I'm going to put the article out there. That way we have our stuff covered. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on, and come on, come on. Here we go. All right, chat room open. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. There we go. The chat room is open on Ustream. Y'all come on in. There's the article, and let's go. So this is it, y'all. We got 10 commandments of an uncommitted Christian. 10 commandments of an uncommitted Christian. This is going to be good. The writer says this. The writer, first of all, is Frank Powell. We've used his articles before from this site. We've used them before, and he's really, really good. He writes really, really good stuff. This is what he says. He says, a Christian is committed to God. It is not a half-hearted journey. He says, at least it's not intended to be. Okay? He says, but many Christians have done it. They have turned following Jesus from a selfless sacrifice to a selfish pursuit. He says, Christianity is nothing more than a status. Ah, you want folks just to know you're a Christian. Okay. He says, they a box to check. It's a status. It's a box to check. He says, I can't imagine this is how Jesus intended Christianity to be. He says, Jesus made statements about hating mother and father, even hating his or her own life. That's Luke 14 and 26. He says, but Jesus asked people to think seriously about the cost of following him. That was in Luke 14 and 27. He says, it was not intended to be an easy road. It was never supposed to be characterized by comfort and security. Oh, my. Oh, my. I think we have to we have to pause right there, because this Christian walk was never meant. No description in the Bible of the Christian walk said it was going to be easy. I have yet to read one description in my Bible that says your walk with God is going to be easy. Now people will take that process to, because then you'll say, well, what about the scripture that says my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Yeah, because I know that's what some folk might want to go to right away, right? But watch this. You can't jump to that because depending on when you came to Christ, now don't get me wrong, it gets easier, but for the new Christian, for the new convert, all hell breaks loose. So it's not this easy walk that you have. It's not some easy walk. It really isn't. Let me keep reading the article because this is going to be good. He says, but a life shrouded in comfort and security tends to have this effect. He says, culture influences the Bible more than God himself. For whatever reason, many have allowed the culture to shape the Creator and his expectations for us. Wow. 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 Many have allowed the culture to shape the Creator. What does that mean? Break it down real simple. Layman's terms, right? Well, what it is we've allowed what the world deems acceptable to make that acceptable in the church. So we've taken so many aspects because we're afraid of offending people. Because we're afraid of offending people, we've decided that we have to be lax on some of what God has asked and commanded us to do. We've decided that so we don't upset the apple cart, that we need to keep everything kind of status quo. We need to keep everything unoffensive. Can I help somebody real quick before we move on? I do want y'all to know that Jesus offended people all the time. Jesus offended people all the time. Even in his process of conversion, if Jesus were to talk to some people today
and called them out on some of their stuff, so many folk would be mad and offended. Y'all don't hear me. So many folk would be mad and offended by some of the comments of Jesus. I mean, it really would. Can I give you a sign of something that would be deemed unacceptable in the church today if Jesus were to come right now and talk to us like he spoke to people in the Bible? If he were to come to us and talk to us like he spoke to people in the Bible, let me take you to the woman at the well. The woman at the well, it says, watch this. It says, I'm going to go, it's in John. If you real quick, you want to grab your Bibles, grab your Bibles. You ought to have your Bible when you're listening, messing around with me. Oh, y'all already know. Grab it. In John 4, skip down to verse 5, John 4, verse 5. This is what he says. He says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Okay, no, now this is how Jesus asked the woman. He didn't say, could you please get me some water? The Bible says, he says, now give me to drink. And he says, because his disciples were already gone into the city to get some meat. So Jesus saw the woman there, and he said, hey, give me some drink. And then the woman, this is the woman's response to Jesus. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask me for something to drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaria. And now watch this. Then he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that said to thee, give me drink, thou would have asked and he would have given thee living water. The woman said this. He says, watch this. Where is it at? Oh, so then I'm going to skip down to verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Talking about the living waters, right? Then Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and have him come. And she says, watch this now. This is where folk will be offended today. Jesus says, she says to Jesus, I don't have a husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou have had, watch this, five husbands, and he whom thou has now is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And now pretty much, can I put that in terms we can understand? Jesus said, you done had five husbands, and the one you laid up with now ain't even your husband. So Jesus pretty much read her whole book right there. Now, instead of her being offended, her response was, I perceive you to be a prophet. So what I said that to say is, that type of language right now in the church, people would be offended by it. They would be angry by it. So because of that, we water down stuff. We water down the gospel. We water down our message. We don't want folk to be upset by what we have to say. Good afternoon. I see. Thank you. Good afternoon. I just find that so interesting that Jesus had no problem. Now, he wasn't saying it to be offensive, but he was telling the truth nonetheless. He wasn't saying it to be offensive, but nonetheless, he was telling the truth. Let's keep going. He says, and here's why this post is so important. A person who claims Christianity but is not molded into the image of God is no Christian at all. He says Christianity is not about a name. It's about a Savior, my God. It's not a declaration. It's a transformation. It's not about fixing some bad habits. It's about becoming a new person. Jesus makes it clear how he feels about the status of lukewarm Christians. Oh, can we talk about the lukewarm folk? This is what he says. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He don't want no warm soldiers. He don't want no part-time, half-time, sometime Christian. Come on, somebody. He don't want that. So we have to recognize that the lifestyle of a Christian, it is not this plush thing that unfortunately has been portrayed by televangelists and all these other people on TV. You all of a sudden your life don't automatically get right when you come to God. Come on in the room. I see y'all constantly coming on in. Y'all come on in. That's right. Now when you come in the room, I told y'all, those of you on Facebook Live, say hi when you come in now. Come on in. Speak to the preacher when you come in. Come on. Come on. Press on in. Press on in. Press on in. I see you. I see you. Okay. So watch this. Watch this. So then he says, and again, we're talking about 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Watch this. He says, but how do we know where we stand? He says, people claiming Christ but not really serious about him adhere to some central truths. Call them commands if you choose, ideals that shape decisions. So here are the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. What's up, George? I see you. I see you. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. So here we go. The 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Lisa King. Hey, preacher. What's up? What's up? That's my cousin. What's going on? What's going on? Oh, my goodness. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Number one, it says, love God, love your neighbors if they look and talk like you. Now, I don't want nobody to jump on me now. It simply says, these are the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. I want y'all to make sure y'all got that right. These are the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. This is good. He says, it is important to love God. It is also important to love your neighbors. Practice both of these. But all that stuff Jesus said about loving enemies, don't worry about that. He says, why would anyone love a terrorist? Why would anyone love a person that wants to come on our soil and kill people? He says, if Jesus were with us today, he would understand. Jesus doesn't love them either. Just love those people who are easy to love. Love those people who look like you. And if you do that, God is happy. Love God, love your neighbors who look and talk like you. Wow. And you know what the sad part is? There are a lot of people who believe that. I know people are tuning in and say, what is this man saying? I am reading the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. I don't want nobody saying that boy ain't here twisting up scripture. I ain't doing that. I'm just telling you what we're doing. It's the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. But this is what we do. We think that all we have to do is love the people that talk back to us. Love the people that we can have conversations with. Love the people we can go and have dinner with. No, 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 no. Especially when we're crying all the time, crying about unity. How you gonna cry about unity and you can't even open your mouth to speak to everybody? But we want to holler about love. The greatest commandment is love. Pastor said this yesterday as part of his sermon. How you going to love people but you never show it? You never show it. Your actions never show it. It doesn't take a lot other than the swallowing of pride to speak to some people that you know that wronged you. All it takes is you swallowing your pride. Trust me, y'all, when I tell you this. Trust me. And trust me, please, when I tell you this. I know how hard it is to look folk in their face every Sunday. Folk that you know done lied on you. Come on, somebody. Folk that you know done lied on you. Folk that you know done took your name and did anything and everything in the world with it and still speak to them. So I think it's necessary that we recognize that you don't only get to just love and treat the people right that you like. I like this now. The Bible never said you got to like everybody. It didn't say that. Like ain't in the process. Like ain't part of the process. I can love you and dislike a whole lot of your ways. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on in the room. Come on. Come on. Press on in. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number two. We're talking about the article, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments of an Uncommitted Christian. Number two. Follow Jesus until it costs you something. Follow Jesus until it costs you something. I don't know about y'all, but this is what it's saying. Follow Jesus until it costs you something. This is what the writer says. He says, I love following Jesus. He says, being a Christian is very important to me, but Jesus would never ask me to give up something. He would never call me to go somewhere I don't want to go. Overseas or whatever. No way. Give up my free time. Don't think so. I know Jesus. He wouldn't do that. I thank God every day for the freedom and the comfort I enjoy in America. My comfort is a gift from God. Uh-oh. Following Jesus should never require someone to lose their job. I mean, God wants me to stand up for my faith. I get that. But I don't think he would want me to stand up for Jesus if my job is on the line or my friendships, relationships, finances. Following Jesus shouldn't hurt. In fact, I don't believe following Jesus should really cost anything. My. Y'all know this is a true statement right here. This is a true statement. Talk about it. This is the true statement right here. Because I really don't think people count up the cost. I don't want to be funny, but I just thought of a song, right? I thought of a song. Minister Marcus Treadwell, thank you for coming in the room, sir. Thank you for coming on in the room. I see you. But I don't think we actually count up the cost of what it costs to be a Christian. And this commandment, this second commandment, again, we're talking about the Ten Commandments of the non-committed, of the uncommitted Christian. I really don't think we look at the cost of being a Christian. I think we don't count up the fact that you are going to have to sacrifice a lot of the things you enjoy doing. You are going to have to sacrifice some relationships that you've built up. Mind you, if they were Christian relationships, 9 times out of 10, you may not have to give those up. But those that are non-Christian, if you believe that you can continue to flow in such a way and not have to give up on some of that stuff and move some of that stuff out of the way, you are sadly mistaken. You are sadly mistaken. Ministry costs, and I don't mean money. Ministry costs. There is a sacrifice when you are committed to ministry. Think about the people who actually go out and do street ministry, who go out and do street evangelism, who go out and do real mission work. They're out there actually sacrificing time. They're sacrificing time they could be spending at home with their families. They're sacrificing time they could be doing other things. They sacrifice the time where they could actually be resting. But instead, they recognize there is a need. And because they recognize it, they are willing to sacrifice themselves in order to spread the gospel. Think about the apostles. Of all they sacrificed to follow Jesus. Think about this. I just gave you the scenario a minute ago about the woman in the well. I just gave you the scenario and how the woman, how Jesus spoke to her back then, today would get him in a lot of trouble. Watch this. If Jesus came today, like he did some 2,000 years ago, and he decided to form a new 12, and he walked up to some of y'all, men and women, and said, take up your cross and follow me. leave your families, leave your job, take up your cross, and follow me. Can we be honest? Can we be honest? How many folks finna quit their job today? How many folks finna just walk out today? You gonna go home and be like, baby, I'm going with the Lord, and we going on a journey, and I see you whenever we make it back around this way. Now I don't know about you, but it ain't too many folk who finna quit their job today. Ain't too many folk finna leave their comfort of their homes behind. It's not. Now, don't get me wrong. He gonna find 12. But I say that to say we don't count the cost of what it takes to go out and do the necessary work. We give a lot of lip service to it. It's like people saying, man, we should go out in the street and we should do this and we should do that. But then you're never out in the street. We'll never see you. We'll never see you. People go, man, y'all should go out and do this in the community, do that. Okay, but when we out there, we don't see you. When we out there, we don't see you. Some do this strictly for, it's like what the writer said at the beginning of the article. Some do this for status purposes. You have some that do this for status. Others who do this because they know that it's their calling. Because they know that this is where they are pleasing God. This is where I'm able to please God with my life by going out and telling people about my Lord and Savior. This is where I can please God. This is how he, this is where he uses me. This is where he chooses to use me. This is where he chooses to use me, and this is how I will glorify him. This is how I'm going to glorify him, by going out and reaching and teaching people and preaching this gospel. That's how it's going to happen. It ain't going to happen no other way. And I believe if you feel that way, then you're going to have to sacrifice some stuff. Don't get me wrong. Christianity does not create Christianity doesn't mean you need to be disgruntled. Christianity doesn't mean you need to be to go without. That's not what it means. But it does mean sacrifice. It does mean sacrifice. Watch this. Let's keep going. Again, we're talking about the Ten Commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Ten Commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Watch this. Number three. Never use words. This is the uncommitted Christian now. The uncommitted Christian never uses words like radical and sacrifice. Wow. Never use words like radical and sacrifice. This is what the writer says. I love reading about the life of Jesus. Wasn't Jesus amazing? The way he talked to the Pharisees and religious leaders. The way he spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes. The way he went to the cross. He was bold, courageous, inclusive, loving. What a great story. But Jesus would never ask me to live that way. And you know what really bothers me? This is what the writer says. When I see people like Dr. Kent who go overseas helping dying Ebola patients and then contracts the disease and then he expects to come back to America and be treated. I mean, why would you do something like that? It seems ridiculous to me. He says, just be a doctor in America. Wow. Let the African people care for themselves and all the people who are being killed by terrorist groups because of their faith in Jesus. Why not just denounce Jesus and save your life? Oh, my God. He says, you can always go back to Jesus later. I think Jesus would understand. Oh, my Lord. Words like radical and sacrifice always make me cringe. I want to be a Christian. I love Jesus, but I view Christianity as more of a status than a sacrifice. Can we talk about it? Words like radical and sacrifice. And here's a question you need to ask yourself. In your church, in your learnings, in what you've been taught, how often have you heard the words radical and sacrifice? Now, I'm sure you've heard sacrifice, but when it comes to you being radical and you sacrificing, how many times have you actually done that? See, the thing that made Jesus so strange to people is because he was a radical. He didn't fit the status quo. He didn't look like everybody else. He didn't fit the status of everyone else. That's what made Jesus so different from everybody else. I love this article. This is so good. How many times have you heard the words radical and sacrifice in your church? We're afraid to use words like radical. We're afraid because, see, radical means, wait a minute, that's going to make, see, radical breeds a sign of uncomfortable. When you're radical, now all of a sudden radical makes other people uncomfortable. But see, we want to make everybody comfortable because we feel like if we're radical, we're going to scare some folk away. Can I help somebody? I believe the reason you ain't got nobody sitting in your church right now is because you want to remain status quo. I think radical change is needed. Meaning I have to sacrifice myself. I have to sacrifice my tradition in order to bring the lost to Christ. I got to do some sacrificing. My God. I got to do some sacrificing so that other folk can be brought to Christ. Meaning, maybe I might need to step aside on some stuff so that we can move into the next age, so we can move up to the next level. But see, me set in my ways, I can't do that. And as long as I hold my position set in my ways, nobody new can come in. Nobody new is allowed at the table because, see, I'm set in my ways. And if you can't serve it like I serve it, then you can't sit at the table. But radical people say, bring me an opposite opinion to the table. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Or radical people say, bring me an opposing opinion to the table. Bring me an opposing viewpoint to the table. Bring me somebody that's not a bobbing head dog. But see, here is the problem. This is where you get in trouble. A lot of times Jesus would make comments and he'd be the only person standing. And after he made his comment, people would turn around and then look and they'd be like, well, everybody else wants to go along with the status quo until that one brother raises his hand and ask a question. And then he's isolated for asking a question. Why are you even questioning it? Because I think it's a question. It takes you being radical to make a change. It takes you being radical to make a change. It takes that. You cannot believe that just sitting along going along with the status quo is going to help any situation. You can't believe that. You can't believe that. If it were not for radical people, the civil rights movement would have never happened. If it wasn't for radical people, the civil rights movement would never happen. And you had two different versions. You had the Martin Luther King version and you had the Malcolm X version. Both radical, but to two different ends of the spectrum. Malcolm was radical. Hey, if you put a gun on me, I'm going to put a gun on you. That was Malcolm. Martin said, I'm going to kill you with love. That's what Martin said. Martin said, I'm going to kill you with love. I'm going to show up. And we're going to have some peaceful protest, and I'm going to love you anyway. And we're going to do nonviolent protest. Whereas Malcolm said, if you throw a rock at me, I'm throwing a rock back. Here is the deal, though. They both were radical in their own way. Jesus was radical because the Pharisees had been teaching one thing and one way only. And Jesus came out of nowhere and started talking about love everybody. They didn't want to hear that. Love the Jew, love the Gentile, love the Samaritan. Jesus said, love everybody. That was a radical thinking. Churches today, we need radical thinking. We need to go back and look and say, you know what? Some of this stuff just ain't working. Let's change it and deal with the fallout. Know that everybody ain't going to like it. But if it's God-centered, hey, do it. Go for it. Let's keep going. Number four. Again, we're talking about 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Number four, heaven is good. Life on earth is better. Uh-oh. Heaven is good. Life on earth is better. Let me read this comment. People been in situations for so long, it became a lifestyle. Oh, my God. George Jody Beatty. George Jody Beatty. You just said something, bro. You just said something, bro. You did. You did. People been living this way for so long that they believe it's normal. We've been doing church a certain way for so long. We believe it's normal. And you know what's bad? If you look in Chicago, with all the killings and shootings, it's been happening for so long. It's become normal. It's become normal. And there is nothing normal about this situation. There is nothing normal about it. But you're absolutely right. We've done things a certain way for so long that we have come to see them as normal, and not only normal, but right. Not only do we see them as normal, but we start to adopt them as right. My. My goodness. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for that, George. That's good. That's good stuff. Let's keep going. Number four says, heaven is good, life on earth is better. This is what he says. Several years ago, Kenny Chesney, I guess, that's a country singer, came out with a song about going to heaven, but not right now. He says, I'm not a big fan of Kenny Chesney. He seems like a metrosexual trying to be a cowboy while singing poppy songs on a country station. Can you say identity crisis? Wow. Anyway, he says, I love this song. I called it my anthem. He says, I want to go to heaven. It would be a great place, but I don't want to go right now. My life is awesome. He says, I'm in college. I have a wife, have a healthy kid. I don't want God to rob me of the best years of my life. I want to experience college. I want to find a spouse, he says. I think we all deserve that. Maybe when I retire, Jesus can come back. I'll be honest, though. If he came back today, I would be upset. I love God. I love heaven. But I really love my life on earth, at least my life at this moment. I want to go to heaven, just not right now. Wow. Wow. This is the thought process of some of our young folk. This is the thought process with some of us young folk. Please agree with us here in Opalak. Marissa Williams, Reverend King, please agree with us here in Opalak, Florida. I went to school up there, down there in Florida. Miss Marissa Williams, I went to school down there. But you said agree with you on what, sweetheart? Because I missed what you want me to agree with you on. But here is the deal. You cannot. So I believe a lot of our young people, and this is why so many young people have went astray, because they're trying to have their heaven or their utopia right now. They're trying to have their utopia right now. Right now. And saying, I got to do whatever I can do to make myself happy now, and then I'll worry about heaven later. Not realizing that in the same process, they're putting themselves in horrible positions and making decisions that are altering their lives forever. So it's definitely something to think about. Let's keep going. Number five. Let me stop for a minute. Reverend King, please agree with us here in Opelika shootings. And if I'm reading you right, are you telling me there was a shooting in Florida today, or you guys are having the same type of shooting issues that we're having here in Chicago? Is that what you're telling me? I just want to make sure I follow you, because I believe you're asking me for prayer, and I want to make sure I'm getting the right information. So clarify that for me. I'm with you. I just need a little clarification. And I'm with you. I'll go to number five, and I'll wait for your response. Number five, don't pursue obedience. Nobody should tell you how to live. Don't pursue obedience. Nobody should tell you how to live. This is what the writer says. Here's the thing. Obedience reveals weakness. Authority and obedience are kissing cousins. Neither are related to me. I love God, but I do not believe I should be obedient to his commands. They are burdensome. Obedience to God robs me of fun. Oh, Lord. I mean, God wants me to wait until I marry to have sex. He thinks it's wrong to be drunk. He wants me to give money back to him. Come on, God. Do you not want me to have any fun? I'm reading the article. He says, just live for yourself. Nobody should tell you or me how to live. This is your life, the only life you have. Live it to the fullest. Don't pursue obedience, and don't fall under anyone's authority. You are your own authority. Only you know what you want and need. Wow. My. Wow. Let me pause for a second, because I'm one of my listeners. Y'all pray real quick. One of my listeners is telling me that I guess there's been some shootings down in Opa-locks, Florida, down there. And we just want to pray for them. We want to pray for them real quick. Father God, we come right now. God, we ask your hedge of protection around the family. God, we ask for healing for those that have been those who have been harmed. God, we ask for complete healing right now. God, we ask you would touch the families of not only those that were victims, God, but we also ask that you would touch the family and the heart of the one who did the shooting. God, we ask right now that you would come and show yourself mighty in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't know what's really going on, but I'm just asking y'all to stretch your hands and y'all pray for Marissa and what's going on down there. I believe that's down there in Florida, in Opa-locks, Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's Florida. Y'all make sure y'all pray now. Pray. Let's go. So here is the thing. Some people don't feel like they have to give. Some people feel like they don't have to. Oh, they don't have to surrender an obedience to anyone. They feel like nobody should have authority over them. Not the pastor, not the church, nobody. I can come, I can do what I want, I can say what I want, and don't nobody get to say nothing to me. That's how some people feel. They feel like that nobody can tell them anything. And here is the deal. You cannot be call yourself a committed Christian if you don't fall under somebody's authority. Just like when you were a child, you fail under your parents' authority, your mother, father, both parents, single mother, single father, whatever it was, you fail under that person's authority. You turn 18, 19, you move out, you go somewhere. But watch this. You're still a child of God. And if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a child of God, then you still have to fall under the authority of him who God sent. And can I help y'all? Even when it sounds like they don't make no earthly sense, my God, you still have to fall under their authority. You still have to. You do not get to pick and choose. I'm going to follow you this week, but next week I'm going to do this. Oh, now follow you this week. The following week I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you on Sunday, but as soon as church over, I'm going to do what I want to do. If you're going to call yourself committed, then you can't be like this. You can't do what number five did. Again, we're talking about 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. What we got? We got 20 minutes. We're going to make it. We're doing good. Number six, if it feels good, do it. My goodness. If it feels good, do it. Once again, I don't want nobody who just tuned in looking at me crazy. I'm talking about the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. This is what he says. Turn on the TV, turn on the radio, listen to the lyrics. Here is the overriding thing. Do what feels good. You all seen the fun these people are having. Don't you want to be like them? The only way to make this happen is to do what they do. He said, the people I see on TV and listen to on the radio are my role models. Why would you do something if it hurts? Why would you work hard for something? Why would you stay in a relationship that is not doing well? Did God not give us feelings and emotions? Just act on the ones that make you feel good. Wow. You know what? Now let me tell y'all something right now. You can play holy all day long. You can play holy all day long. Who is that? My mother has entered the Facebook chat room. I know she at work. She must be on lunch or break or something. Amen. Praise them. Watch this. You do not get to just do whatever. Now, mind you, this is another case where the church has allowed the world to come in, and we made concessions so that people can feel comfortable. Can I say this? And I know I have some listeners who are of the LGBT. What's the Q? Is that, did I get all the letters right, Tanya? I think I did. Of that community. No one is saying you shouldn't be in church. No one is saying that you're not allowed to go to church. But at the same time, I don't. At no time should a pastor or a preacher or a minister, a bishop, an apostle, whatever you call yourself, at no time should you try to make the word easy so that that community of people are not offended. Because watch this. We'll go hard. We want to go hard on the fornicator, but we want to make the LGBTQ community feel welcome in our church. So we'll skip certain parts of the scriptures so that they're no longer offended, so that they can feel like I can be who I am and still be in the Lord. I'm not telling you to talk about them. I'm not telling you to put them out your church. I'm not saying any of that at all. So please don't get it twisted. What I'm simply saying is this. We don't get to change scripture to make folks comfortable. Because we've had so many preachers who have decided to skip over stuff. And don't get me wrong, I ain't just talking about the LGBTQ folks. We got some preachers who won't preach on fornication. You won't preach on fornication. You won't preach on none of that. You know why? Because you know folk in your church is doing it, so you don't want to offend them. So when you get to that part of the scripture, you'll read through it real fast, but then you notice you don't put no context on it. We don't eisegete that scripture. exegete that scripture. We don't exegete that scripture. We don't exegete that one. We'll skip over them. Because, see, we don't want folk to be uncomfortable. And not only that, not only do we don't want the folk who's doing it to be uncomfortable, we don't want our seasoned saints. They shouldn't have to listen to that. Guess what? You don't get to pick and choose. You either teach whole Bible or no Bible. Come on, somebody. You either teach whole Bible or teach no Bible. It's time out for that. It's time out for that. That's why you got so many folk on their way to hell, because we want to teach part Bible. This part of it. Let's teach about giving. Let's teach about tithing. Let's teach about this and that. No. Let's teach about all of it. Somebody said this to me before. How come preachers don't preach out of Revelation? And I said, honestly, because a lot of them scared. A lot of them scared because you have to study to teach. You have to study to teach and preach out of Revelation. You just can't come out one day and just say, I'm just going to preach out of Revelation. No. Trust me. If you preach out of Revelation, God got to give it to you. God got to give it to you. But see, we want to skip over that part because, see, it's a little unsettling to hear about folks just being killed just because they refuse to denounce Jesus. It's a little unsettling. But can I take you somewhere? We ain't at the revelation point yet, but if you go overseas, there are people right now at this very moment in certain countries being killed because they will not say that they don't love Jesus, or they will not say they don't believe in Jesus, and they're being killed instantly. Right now, in 2016, this is happening. The same thing is going to happen when Revelation states, the same thing, a lot of folk going to die because of their belief in Jesus. So we need to stop this half-teaching mess that we're doing. You got to. What did you say? We don't get to share half scripts. Right, sharing half the scripture. You right. Sharing half the scripture. Absolutely right. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. We got to stay on time. Number seven, worship God on Sunday. Worship yourself the rest of the week. My Lord. Once again, it's the 10 signs Ten Commandments of an Uncommitted Christian. That's what we're reading. Ten Commandments of the Uncommitted Christian. This is what he said. Worship God. When you're uncommitted now, you worship God on Sunday, and you worship yourself the rest of the week. This is what the writer said. I believe Sundays are for God. I make it to worship every Sunday. Well, almost every Sunday. Every now and then, I stay up too late and I sleep in. There are also weekends when the kids got ball games. But God understands that. Nobody is perfect. Me and God got a deal. I'll give him Sunday, but the other 6 days, I have a lot going on, so I live for myself. Oh, my Lord. He says, I turn God off like a light switch. God doesn't really impact my social life. He doesn't really change how I interact with my coworkers. He doesn't influence my dealings with other people. My relationship with God works best that way. Mondays through Saturdays are for me. Sundays are for God. Oh, my goodness. Can I help somebody right now who's thinking this way? Can I help anybody who might think this way? I pray that God doesn't do you like we do him. What do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you. I pray that on Sunday, when you after you done said your last hallelujah and you done did your last dance down the aisle, when you walk out the door, God don't say, okay, now you make your way back here next week without my protection. Huh? Make your way back here next week. Let me see how you work, how you make it throughout the week without me keeping them folk up off you. Let me see how you make it at work without me keeping that crazy manager or supervisor out your face. Let me see how you make it without me having that bill collector send that unknown bill out the blue. Let me see how you make it throughout the week without me. But I see you Sunday. Uh-huh. So you can't sit back. You can't sit back and pretend, well, Sunday is for God, and then the rest of the week I do what I want to do. Because if God did that to us, I can tell you this, some of us won't make it to Monday morning. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Some of us would not make it to Monday morning. We don't get to do Sunday. I don't worship a Sunday God. I don't know about you. I don't worship a Sunday God. Let me see what this comment says. You don't get to study. You got to study it all. Revelation is no different. It's God's word. There's no scripture that backs anyone saying Revelation is any different. God's word is him, according to John. That's right. That's right. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. Mm-hmm. Come on. So. You cannot do this Sunday only mess. And I think that's part of what we do is we're Sunday only. Saturday night we cussing like a pirate on a ship. Sunday morning we got more hallelujahs than the angels in heaven. Sunday afternoon, we back to cussing like a pirate. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I ain't lying on you. Y'all know it's the truth. I don't worship a Sunday God. My God is 24/7, 7 days a week. Sometimes I need him 25 hours in a day. Come on. Come on. So this mindset of I'm going to give God Sunday, but then the rest of the week I'm going to do what I want to do. That don't work, y'all. That don't work. That was number 7. All right, we got 3 more. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. I believe God is going to allow us to make it. Come on, come on. This is what he says. We're talking about the 10 commandments of an uncommitted Christian. Number 8, read the Bible and pray. Watch this. If you have extra time. This is crazy. Read the Bible and pray if you have extra time. Y'all know something. Y'all know for some of this going to apply. This going to apply for some of y'all. Come on. He says this. Life is busy right now. Can I get an amen? God knows our schedule. He knows we go from time. We go from the time we wake up to the time we lie down. Ball games, practices, homework, social events, marriage, my favorite TV show, my favorite sports team. All of these require time and energy. I read the Bible when I can. I pretty much know how God wants me to live anyway. And prayer? Yeah. I want to talk to God, but prayer is hard. I mean, God never talks back. I almost see it as a waste of time. God already knows everything. Why does he need me to tell him what I need? You know what's sad about this? because he wrote this article, and just what's sad about it is that people actually feel that way. There are people right now who are going through their daily lives and having all this stuff going on and don't and can't give God 10, 15 minutes out the day. There is no excuse. Can I talk to my believers? Because, see, unbelievers got excuses. My believers, there is no excuse for 10 or 15 minutes out the day that you can't read a Bible scripture. No excuse. And I'm not saying just read it to say you read it. I'm saying read it and try to get some understanding out of it. There is no excuse for that. Been in church 40, 50 years, and you can't say honestly, you can't be honest with yourself and let alone God and say, I'm going to take some time out every day to at least give a few minutes to a scripture and some prayer time. But then you want to know why all hell breaking loose. Then you want to know how all hell breaking loose. Angela, who is this guy? Can we? His name is Frank Powell. He wrote this article. I love it because he's telling the truth. These are the commandments of the uncommitted Christian. This is what uncommitted folks do. This is how uncommitted folks live. How can you not spend some time in prayer? I make this comment all the time about choirs and people and people who sit to the sidelines. I make this thought process all the time. I'm sorry, people who sing in praise teams and sing in choirs. How can you sing and praise a God that you don't read or study about? How can you sing and praise a God that you never talk to? That you never pray to, but on Sunday morning you got a Mahalia Jackson spirit. I mean, you all over the place on Sunday morning, but you don't even talk to God. You don't pick up His word. You don't study His word for nothing. But on Sunday, you hop your behind right in the choir stand. You hop your behind right behind the microphone, and all you giving Him some glory. But you don't read the Bible. And again, there is no excuse. Everybody got one of these, right? Who ain't got one of these? Everybody got. I'm holding up a phone for those. I'm sorry. I forget I'm on the radio too. I'm holding up a phone. Everybody and their mama got one of these. There is no excuse for why we can't spend some time with God. But when you're uncommitted, we come up with every excuse. I love what the writer said. He said, man, look, I got TV, I got baseball practice, I got homework, I got social events, I got my favorite TV show, my favorite sports team. And he said, that stuff is important. But that's how uncommitted folks think. Uncommitted folks don't think they have to spend no extra time. They think Sunday is enough. They think Sunday is enough. Think about that. And I'll take it back to you again. What if God said, "I'm going to take care of you on Sunday, and the rest of the week you fend for yourself"? When you go to that doctor's appointment, when you go to take that test at the doctor, come on, somebody. When you go to take that test at the doctor, and you praying that God give you a good result. And then you get that bad result, and then you wonder now you're looking for God. Had you been talking to Him all along? Have you been praying before you got sick? Come on. So we have to stop saying this. It's gonna take me extra time and all that. It don't take you no time. I like that. I look forward to stealing away with the Lord. Absolutely. You got to just get you some time. Make some time. It ain't nothing, man. Put that phone on silent. Go find you a corner. Y'all get lunches and breaks at work. I know y'all hungry. But, man, go sit in your car if you drive to work. Just go sit somewhere and go sit in the corner of the cafeteria by yourself. Go do somewhere. Go in the bathroom and sit. Hey, close the door to the stall. Do something. But spend some time. You got a house for the folks at your house? Spend some time. There's no excuse for not making. And you know what's bad is the fact, and I even feel bad in saying that we have to make time for the Lord. My. We have to make time for the Lord. Number nine, y'all, number nine. Again, we're talking about 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. What's that? Hey, Isis, what's going on? I see you done popped in the room. I see you. You done popped in the room. Bless you. Thank you for watching. Let's keep going. The writer says this, number nine. Pursue riches and fame. God wants you to have the best. This is crazy. Pursue riches and fame. God wants you to have the best. He says God wants all of us to have the best. The nicest car, the biggest house, the largest bank account. I believe this is God's intention for our lives. Have you seen the preachers of L.A.? I think those guys have it right. God intends for us to be prosperous. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, John 10 and 10. All of us should pursue riches and fame. Doesn't matter if you sacrifice your family or your integrity. God wants us to have the best, so go get it. Really? But once again, this is the unfortunate nature. This is the unfortunate nature of some people in the church. Some people believe that we're supposed to be constantly chasing money. Can I help somebody? You don't have to chase money when you're in God. God will supply everything. All God asks is that you be a good steward. Come on, somebody. Don't miss this. All God asks is that you be a good steward. That's all he asks, is that you be a good steward. If you're a good steward, he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Come on. Come on. So we shouldn't chase that, because watch this. People who chase money are always chasing money. People who chase money, you end up always chasing money. You always end up chasing money. And that only happens when you're not a good steward. Because when you're a good steward, you don't have to chase money. Money will find you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Money will find you when you are a good steward. You don't have to run up behind everybody trying to do this and do that and run to get this and that. When you are a good steward, money will find you. You ain't never got to go looking for it. Last one. Number 10. Again, we're talking about the 10 commandments of the uncommitted Christian. Number 10, don't share Jesus with others. The mission is not important. This is what he said. Don't share Jesus with others. The mission is not important. He says, sharing Jesus with other people is awkward. I might lose friends over it. I will certainly look vulnerable. I'm not into looking vulnerable. And he said, it's never worked for me. Sharing my faith, that is. Well, technically, I've never shared Jesus with anyone, but it's never worked for my friends. I know they have. I'm just trying to live a good life myself. It's hard enough to do that. Sharing Jesus with the world is asking for too much. Plus, the preachers and the pastors of the world are supposed to share Jesus. People look up to them. They are paid. They are leaders. Let's leave the mission of God to the leaders of the church. It works best that way. Wow. Can I read the closing part of this? This is what the writer said. The Ten Commandments above, the ones of the uncommitted Christian, they're all lies, of course. But these lies are perceived truths for many people. Following Jesus does lead to an abundant life. But the abundant life Jesus promises is not characterized by the world's values. It's marked by joy. It's marked by intimacy with the Creator. Jesus desires followers, people that will live counterculturally, desire things that are eternal. He says, love others unconditionally, live sacrificially, pursue the mission boldly. Wow. Wow. We got to get to understand that it's not going to be comfortable for us living this Christian lifestyle. And being a Christian is going to make other people uncomfortable. And guess what? It's okay that other people are uncomfortable. Some people look at you and they're going to call you arrogant and they're going to call you conceited. No, it's not that. I know who God made me to be. And I shouldn't have to diminish who I am in Christ to make you feel better. That's going to hit somebody on the way home. I shouldn't have to diminish who God made me to be to make you feel better, to make you feel comfortable. I should not have to put a blanket over my light to help you feel better. No, what I should do is show you how to make your light shine. Come on, somebody. Make your light shine so that now you too can be shining brightly. Come on. Come on. Look, y'all, man, this is good. This has been good stuff, man. This has been good. This has been absolutely awesome. Once again, our prayers go out to one of my listeners, Marissa Williams, down in Opa-locka, Florida. Sent me a note letting me know that there are some issues. So there was some shooting going on like right while she was listening to the show. So we want to keep those people down in Florida in our prayers. We definitely want to keep them in our prayers and pray for both, like I said, both the shooter and the victim and the shooter. We definitely want to keep them in our prayers. God is awesome, y'all. He's absolutely awesome. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now, God. We just thank you, God, for who you are. God, we thank you for everything that you've done, the things you continue to do, and God, we even thank you for the things you will do. God, we thank you for every listener that's taken some time out of their day, God, to hear something that may encourage them, that they may go out and encourage somebody else. We thank you for every viewer who chose to come in and view, whether it be on Facebook Live or whether it be on Ustream. We thank you for every viewer. God, we thank you for every listener on Blog Talk Radio. God, we thank you for those who dial in on a weekly basis and listen to this show. God, we thank you for those who only get a few minutes to do so and they choose to spend that time with us. So, God, we thank you and we're grateful for them. And we hope that you are, and God, we pray that you are a blessing to their lives and their families as well. God, we ask that you will bless every church that is opening your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, hey, I got to go. It's 1:34. I got some stuff to do. I got some home maintenance to do. I'm gonna tell y'all I got to go to my mama's house and do some stuff. It's funny. I'm gonna tell y'all about it on Wednesday about me doing my best do-it-yourself stuff at my mama's house. That's gonna be funny. But anyway, look here, y'all. Y'all know the routine. If you live in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here. TTLO.
I want to stand up real quick. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it. Yeah. wait, wait, wait.